All right, so Shauna, let's talk about this legacy planning.
Legacy planning.
Am I in your wheel, by the way? Did you spell my name right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, just make sure.
Dalla,
boy,
with no R.
Nothing like an uncomfortable moment on the radio. You can feel that you through the waves.
You should have seen him look at me. I thought, what? The answer is yes.
Absolutely.
Good. Now yes, change your beneficiary forms and everything will be good. That's legacy planning.
That's how it's done, folks.
Well,
hey, there's a lot of bosses out there.
You got to ask. I mean, if you ask enough, somebody might say, sure.
That's right. There's a lot of bosses out there that run the 401k plan. And you can always ask. So who's your beneficiary? How about tomorrow? Who's going to be your beneficiary?
Keep getting a paycheck?
That's right.
Now, that's probably not kosher.
No.
You can ask. You can't threaten.
Yeah, it's just a question. It's harmless.
I mean, why not ask?
There you go.
All the parents out there listening, I bet they've had, or grandparents, or grandkids, or kids have asked, who's your beneficiary?
Yeah. It's never a comfortable conversation, mm-hmm. I bet.
Now we'll get serious.
Okay.
Definitely Sorry. Serious. No, legacy plan, and talking about private family foundations. So, you know, I generally recommend these if you have a situation where you have a family that has more than the estate tax,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have over, it's about 11 million. So mm-hmm. you have a couple that's over 11 million, they're subject to estate tax, they're charitably inclined, particularly if, you know, they don't have heirs or their heirs don't need the money. What you can do is you can set up a private family foundation. So you can contribute to it during your lifetime. Or you can name it as a beneficiary in your will as well. So anytime you contribute to a charity, it takes directly from the estate tax calculation.
Right.
So in other words, if you have $13 million and the estate tax limit is 11, you could put $2 million of it in this charity and leave it and pay no estate tax at all.
Right.
And it's a way to allow you...
You could even do it with an IRA, right?
You can do it with an IRA,
right?
Correct.
So not only avoid
correct
avoid the estate tax, but also avoid the income tax that's going to happen when you have to withdraw the money from the IRA.
Correct. And so if you do it during your lifetime, I generally like to recommend to put appreciated securities in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're avoiding the capital gain, particularly ones that we'd want to sell or get out of, you know,
right.
So move that over to the foundation. You get a charitable deduction now. You don't get the tax, you know, the capital gain on it.
Right.
But this is something if you want to do and leave it in your will, it has to be set up prior to, and you have to do it with an attorney. It's complex to set up, but it has to be, you know, set up usually with a corporation or a trust.
Right.
And it has to file for a tax exempt status.
Right.
And so this is a way for, instead of just leaving money outright to your church or a specific charity, you know, when you pass away, this is a way for the family or, you know, whoever you deem to control the money to be able to gift ongoing. So over time, you may be able to gift more, you know, over, I don't want to say the lifetime, it's a perpetual entity. And
right.
So you can gift more.
So if you
want
to educate correct. Your children on being philanthropic, this is one way to do it.
Absolutely.
And they can sit on the board and receive fees for that.
Absolutely.
Right. So there's, you know, some advantages to this. You don't have to necessarily do it just to avoid the estate tax. You
no.
can do it to leave a legacy.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know,
you can certainly yeah. do that as well.
And just, I know we're going to be talking about, I think in the future shows, not Kelly Lynn's looking at me like, I'm not planning anything for next week yet. But but the private foundation is for more wealthy individuals. But there are also community foundations that and donor-advised funds that you can be using that you don't have to have 12 or
no.
$20 million, that kind of thing.
No, you absolutely can. So a donor-advised fund is similar to that where it's a foundation that you control. So you can put, you know, money. It's usually at a custodian like Schwab or something
right.
like that. And it's an account that's opened. You can put money in it now. Usually appreciated securities is what
right.
I like to do again. And you get the deduction today, but
right.
you dictate when it goes to what charity.
Right.
So, and it is
but
a
But you
way.
Won't have control of it.
Correct.
It's going to have, there's a parent 501c3 that has control of it.
Correct.
Which
so
is
you
different
can't take
than,
it back. Right.
Right. Well, you can't take it back from the private foundation either, but
sure.
there you have accounting control. And,
correct.
You know,
right.
that kind of thing.
Control over where the donation goes.
Yeah, well, and I think even the donor advised fund will give you some flexibility there to sort of decide what direction. But,
exactly.
And it depends on which one you go with. But we're going to get into that more in the coming weeks
Yeah. And something you just want, you want to work with a tax accountant if you decide to do a foundation or a donor advised fund, because there's limitations to how much you can contribute.
Right.
So, you know, with a private foundation, you're limited to 30% of your adjusted gross income.
Right.
But if you do appreciated securities, you're limited to 20%.
Right.
And so with a donor advised fund, it's actually 50% charity. So it's 50% of your adjusted gross income or 30% of capital gain. So you don't want to get in a situation where, you know, let's say you wanted to contribute just to go ahead and get it going. You know, you can't take the deduction.
Right.
And so
you could contribute it, but you won't get the deduction.
Right. You may not get the benefit of the deduction. You can carry it forward 5 years, but you're going to lose that after 5 years if you don't have the income to support that. So that's something else to be thinking about as well, as far as limitations and
contributions. It's not simplistic, but it is something that, that is, I don't want to say easily doable, but it is doable and doesn't have to cost, you know, it's not cheap, but it's not an arm and a leg either.
Right.
So
there is a minimum amount that has to be distributed from those foundations.
It's usually
as
about
well
5%. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's around 5% of the corpus.
Otherwise, the tax gets a little more difficult. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
You're penalized on that.
Sure.
Donor advised funds are easy to set up, though, too. You know, usually it's $5,000 minimum to set it up.
So. Well, they're really already set up. I mean, you just kind of go to Schwab or Fidelity or even, you know, like the Cobb. I forget the. I should know the name of it. I forget. Cobb Community Foundation.
Family
Foundation.
Yeah.
and they do it too. So, you know, if you don't have enough or want to spend the money to have your own private one, there's other ways to do it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
We'll sort of investigate that further going forward.
Yeah. It's a great idea. So. There's a lot of great charities out there that do great things in our communities, many right here in Cobb County.
Right.
And you know, it helps the community and...
Well, look, at the end of the day, if you've been fortunate enough to live in this country and amass some wealth and you're taking care of your family, and it's nice to give back.
Right. And I tell you what, there is nothing better. You get in giving, you get a gift of your own.
Yeah.
And it's the feeling that you did something awesome for somebody else.
Right. And it doesn't take a lot of money. You know, not to digress, but, you know, we help sponsor the scholars program over at the Coles College of Business at KSU. And I don't know, what is there, 25 students in there? And we help pay for a retreat and do all that, you know, up at Brasstown Valley.
They have multiple years, so they call them cohorts. We're on, what, about the fourth year that they've been doing
but
this?
But, I mean, each cohort probably has about 20. So there's maybe 100 students, you know. And so, and they have to elect to be in this, and then they've got to be selected. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's the cream of the crop in the business school. And
good grades, and there's a interview process,
and,
you know, they have to have a pretty good resume to get in there.
But the point is,
we
went up and gave a presentation, and we do this every year up at Brasstown. And it is, I mean, when you see these, I call them kids, but I mean, they're not really kids. I mean, they're young adults going to college.
They
And they really appreciate the fact that, you know, the 20 grand you gave or whatever it is really helping them.
It is.
You know, step forward in their career. So
they get to get out and do certain projects every cohort, and they also take a trip, I think, to Guatemala every year. So they do.
It's
some
not a vacation down there,
it.
Right? Absolutely, they're going down there, and they get a lot of don't drink the water. And a lot of stories, right? I mean, how many stories have we heard about those?
A lot of it. But they do great work, and they learn a lot, and a lot about business in general, and giving, and trying to help communities that are emerging. To learn ways that they can actually generate revenue for their families.
Right.
The thing that's interesting about the Guatemala trip is the fact that they get to actually stay with a family. So they kind of immerse themselves in the community and the culture while they're there.
Yeah, they're not staying at the Ritz.
Absolutely not. Yeah, they're staying in somebody's house.
Right.
I think they had a spider incident or something a couple of years ago. But it's interesting to hear the issues the things that they learn and how they learn it.
Right.
Great program.
No, it is. Anyway, we're going to stop here for a quick break. Got to pay some bills. You're listening to Money Talks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.